Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Colossians, chapter number 1. We're going to read through just a short passage of Scripture. I know that your theme for this year is servants who fear the Lord. And in our meditation verse, and in some of the verses we're going to look at this morning, I hope that we'll understand and connect the idea that fearing the Lord doesn't take place randomly. It's very purposeful, this thing of fearing the Lord. In fact, throughout Scripture, when it's discussed, this idea of fearing the Lord, it's inextricably linked to knowledge and wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you're not going to properly fear the Lord, you're not even going to know what that means in your life if you do not have a relationship with Him. If your walk with Him isn't real, if you're not seeing Him for who He is. One of my favorite passages in all of the Bible is in Isaiah chapter number 6, where Isaiah really gets a view of God in that vision in the throne room. And he looks at God, and with knowledge of God and seeing who He is, he declares that He Himself is undone. That's the position that the fear of the Lord puts us in. It exalts Him and it diminishes us. That's the view that John the Baptist had when he saw the Lamb of God. And he came and he prostrated himself before Him and he said, "This man right here, this Son of God, I'm not worthy to even tie His shoes." He said, "This, the Lamb of God, He must increase and I must decrease." You see, that's a proper fear of the Lord out of having sight of Him, seeing who He is, having knowledge of Him, walking with Him, entering into intimate relationship with Him. Without that, we can't begin to even know what the fear of the Lord is. So this morning in our passage, as we read this together, the Apostle Paul is going to tell us that he's praying for this church, Colossae. And in this prayer, he's going to mention some things about what it means to really see God and know God and have the power of God work through us as His servants. So if you found your place there in Colossians 1, we're going to begin reading with verse number 9. And let's stand together if you're physically able to do so out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. Notice together with me verse 9, "For this cause," this is Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God to this church at Colossae, "we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you." And I want to remind you of this. There's some pretty important people in Scripture that the Bible says pray for people. Paul prayed for this church. How many of you are glad today that Jesus Himself prays for us? The Bible says that He is at the right hand of God making intercession for us. He is our advocate. We don't have to go through any kind of partition or middleman. We go directly to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who then goes to God for us because He is our high priest. We enter into the throne room because of His righteousness. We can go boldly before the throne of grace. Aren't you glad for the work of Jesus in our life even this morning? And so Paul, grabbing on to that ministry of prayer, says, "I am praying for you, church, and this is what we're not ceasing to pray for you about." Notice this in verse number 9. "Our desire is that you would be filled with the knowledge of His will, of God's will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." We're going to stop right there for now. Let's pray and let's ask the Holy Spirit of God to guide us to all truth. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so glad to be gathered in this room this morning and to be able to open up Your Word, to be able to see what Your intentions and callings and desires are for us. And Lord, I pray that we would fall in love with that, that we would fall in love with Your will, with Your leadership, with Your guidance, that we would fall in love with being a servant to You. Because it also means that we're a child of Yours. that we are your sons and daughters, that we have special privilege with you. Lord, help us to understand what that means this morning as we dig into your word. Work in a very special way, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, I want to preach to you a message I've entitled, My Prayer for You. My Prayer for You. Now, in our meditation verses, we saw that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ask or think. I want us to understand that God does not just desire a surface relationship with us. He wants us to know Him in a great way, in a personal way, and in a way where He can work in unmistakable ways through our life. But so often we are content with just entering into a surface relationship with God. We're content to claim or label ourselves as a servant of God without really having to dig into what that means or have knowledge of who He is or desire to go too much further down the road with Him. We kind of stiff-arm Him sometimes in our heart and in our mind and say, I'm good where I'm at, and God, I'm glad you're where you're at, but I don't know that I want to go much deeper with you. And so Paul's prayer for a church that, by the way, had a very good track record. If we had the time, we'd read the introduction where Paul talks about their obedience and their spirit and that they are indeed saved and that they are really living in a faithful way for God. But his prayer for this church is that they would go deeper, that they would have some things that were beyond the surface. And if we're not careful, if we don't endeavor to go deeper in our relationship with the Lord, our walk with God can resemble what many people who worship idols' walks with God are. You see, paganism views God in a way where they fear God because they don't know Him. They're fearful that if they don't go through superstitious activities, that their crops will be blighted or that their children will suffer or that God will smite them in some way. And so in a paganistic relationship, they don't serve God out of love for God, but they appease the gods, hoping in fear that the gods will not smite them. And I'm glad that our relationship can be so much deeper than that with our Savior. We don't have to live in fear of God. We should walk with a fear of God, an awe of Him, an understanding of who He is, a desire to please Him, not appease Him. I'm glad our God was already appeased through the sacrifice of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no appeasement He needs from us. We have Jesus. Aren't you glad we have Jesus this morning? And so we don't have to live in a paganistic view of a relationship with the gods. We have a God who is appeased by His Son and desires to be pleased in us. And this is the prayer of the Apostle Paul and those that are with him. So in this prayer this morning, we're going to look at several things that I think we would do well to connect with this morning. First of all, we see that his prayer for this church was that they would know God's will. That they would know God's will. Notice with me, if you would, again, verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. And you know what that tells me right there? We can know God's will. For many of us, we use the excuse that this is some mystical thing, that it's something that over time God may reveal to us, or I'm searching it out, or how can you know the will of God? Will we not be very confused about it? Paul says, I'm praying you would be filled with it. Not only should we know it, we should be filled with the will of God. We should be so connected with it and so knowledgeable of it and so confident in it that we're walking in it and living from it and serving through it. We should be that full of the will of God. And many Christians say, well, how do you know it? It's kind of confusing. How do I know if God wants me to do this or wants me to do that? I've got one answer for you. Right here. He's given us this Bible, his word. He's declared to us very specific things about what his desire is for us. And many people walk around in confusion. And the Bible speaks to this. The Bible says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. And the idea of vision in that scripture is the Word of God. It's a clear and open view of God's Word. Why do we need a view of God's Word so we don't perish? Because God has revealed His will through His Word. And in knowing His Word, we bring to ourselves life, so that we will not perish. We know His will for salvation. Aren't you glad this morning He told us how we can be saved? What a blessing that is. He tells us it's not by our own merits. It's not by our own works. It's not out of what we conjure up or do for ourselves. But it is by the grace of God. It's through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did all that was necessary for us to be made whole when He sacrificed Himself and shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. And then 3 days later, He rose again from the grave, victorious over sin and death. Aren't you glad? All of that's right in here. And He shared it with us because He loves us. That's the thing. God loves us, so He wants us to know His will. And He wants us to be filled with it. But as He's praying this prayer for this church, this prayer is also giving them direction. He's not just praying, hey, my prayer is that you would be filled with the will of God and His knowledge of His will, and then poof, it's just going to happen. No, this prayer is also a calling for them to exercise knowledge and wisdom, for them to dig into the Word of God, for them to study, to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This prayer is also a call. Hey, I'm glad that there's probably students in this room right now. Your parents are praying for you, and they probably tell you that. And if your mom or your dad comes to you and says, I'm praying for you, they might even tell you things they're praying for you about. Hey, I'm praying that you will do well in your studies this semester. Well, that isn't just some magic formula that all of a sudden, because they pray that for you, you're going to do well in your studies this semester. You then also have to apply yourself to study and to prepare and to learn. So the prayer is also a direction. You know, your parents might come to you and pray, hey, I hope that you find that spouse that God has for you, and that God may show you who that is. And that isn't just going to magically happen because they pray it. How many of you understand? It'll probably be good if you take a bath every once in a while too. And brush your teeth and be pleasant. And so these prayers also give direction. And when Paul prays to this church, hey, I pray that you'd be filled up with the will of God, the knowledge of His will. He also says, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Where does that come from? It comes from a personal walk with the Lord. It comes from relationship in His Word. It comes from knowing who He is by studying who He is. My question for you today is, do you care what God's will is for your life? And if you do, and there are people, by the way, your professors, your teachers, your mom, your dad, your church, your pastor, they're praying that you would know the will of God. Are you concerned enough about it that you find yourself personally in the Word of God? Personally studying it, memorizing it, digesting it, praying over it. Lord, lead me as You would lead me. So we see the prayer is that they would know God's will. Secondly, we see that he prays they would walk worthy of Him. That they would walk worthy of Him. Notice in verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Let me tell you this. You can please God and you can displease God. You can please God and you can displease God. Paul writes about this in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2. And he's pleading with whom he's writing to, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, and then the next word is, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and, again, acceptable and perfect will of God. So we already talked about God's will. And being in God's will is the way to be pleasing to Him, to be acceptable to Him, to walk worthy of Him. So another question is, am I pleasing God with my life? Are the decisions that I'm making, are the things that I'm saying, are the behaviors I'm exhibiting, are they reflective of this great God whom I know, who I'm in awe of, whom I'm in fear of, because I know Him and I know what He's done for me. And I know how He's empowered me through His Spirit. And I know He's given me His wondrous word that, by the way, I'm accountable to. Am I pleasing Him in it? That's the prayer that Paul has for this church, that they would walk worthy of Him unto all pleasing. And how is this done? Well, he shares that with us in verse number 10. Here are some indicators to tell us if we're being pleasing to God. Look at them with me and ask yourself in your mind, am I producing these? Can I look at my life right now and say, I'm pleasing to God, that I'm in His will? Notice with me verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you fruitful? Are you producing out of your relationship with God good works? Are you producing out of your relationship with God a faithful witness? Are you producing out of your relationship with God a faithful testimony? Are you producing out of your faithfulness to God an examination, understanding, and deployment of the gifts He's given you to occupy the calling that He's led you into? Are you indeed serving? Serve the Lord with fear. Well, are you serving and are you being productive? We shouldn't treat our service to God as some sideline issue. It is the main issue. It is the way that we produce fruit for eternity. And God might call you to be a plumber, and God might call you to be a lawyer, and God might call you to be an engineer or whatever, but in doing that, we should do all that we do for the glory of God. We should find an avenue in anything that we're called to produce fruit, the fruit of good works for the kingdom of God. So wherever God places you, He's placed you, as you've probably learned already this week, in a mission field. Your job is a mission field. Your neighborhood is a mission field. Your city is a mission field. The area God has put you in, He's put you there to work through you to produce good works. You are the vine. He is the vine. You are the branches. He's going to produce that flow of nutrition into your life. He's going to call you into the things He calls you to do. And out of that, you're going to produce the fruit of His indwelling Spirit. And so the question that we should ask ourselves is, am I pleasing God? Well, I think so. I'm pretty good. I smile a lot at people and I shake some hands and, you know, I do some things and I'm usually on time to class. And, you know, I walked an old lady across the street last week and, you know. But in your life, is there a production of the gospel fruit coming out of it? The testimony, the witness, the connection, the service in your local church, the lifting up of the Lord Jesus Christ, is what you're doing in your life productive to the end of producing fruit? Notice what else he says here. Fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Do you know more about God today than you did yesterday? Do you know more about God today than you did last week or last month or last year or a decade ago? Are you growing? This is something that you can evaluate. You can look back on your life, and if you're honest, you can say, yeah, I see these milestones of growth. I see where God's word has spoken to my heart, and I've made this decision, and I followed through on this decision, and I've seen the fruit of it, and I see God working in my life, and now this is happening, and now I'm at Appalachian Bible College, and now God might call me to the ministry, and you just see this progressive growth of increasing in the knowledge of His will, increasing in knowing what pleases Him, increasing in the production of fruit. This is all stuff that if we're honest and we'll look at our life, we can see this is transpiring or this is not transpiring. And so this is a good evaluation as we're considering this prayer that Paul has for God's people. So we've seen that we need to know God's will. He's praying that we would walk worthy of Him. Also, he prays this, that we would be strengthened. That we would be strengthened. Notice with me in verse number 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Sounds like you guys have had a busy, perhaps, couple of weeks. How many of you are tired this morning? Just be honest. It's like, oh, yeah, please hurry up so I can get back to bed. Okay. Hey, I'm a little bit weary this morning myself. I don't know. We're getting used to what in our area they call the Mid-Ohio Valley crud. There's like this stuff that settles into the Parkersburg, Vienna area, and it just zaps me this time of year. And, man, I get sinus pressure, and I don't sleep real well, and I get tired. And so I'm tired this morning, too. So as soon as I'm done, move over. I'll sit right there. We'll take a nap, okay? All right. But in life, we get tired. How many of you understand this life can be hard at times? And we take some knocks and bruises along the way, and we find that we have limited strength. That our strength in and of ourself isn't always adequate. Now, there's a lot that human beings can do through their own strength and power. It is amazing. How many of you have ever watched the Olympics before? I mean, it's amazing what people can train, condition their bodies to endure and to perform in. I remember watching the Olympics where Michael Phelps won all of those medals for swimming. And I saw him interviewed about his regimen, you know, the disciplines that he went through every day in order to achieve what he achieved. And it was amazing the amount of time that this guy spent in the pool and swimming. And what was even more amazing was the amount of food he had to eat. Like, this guy ate enormous amounts of food, and you wouldn't know it by looking at him, but man, I guess he burned through calories like crazy. So he had to sit there and eat like these huge meals like five times a day. It was ridiculous. I can't believe any human. I can't imagine how he even afforded to be able to compete in the Olympics with the amount of food he had to eat. It was insanity. And you know, it's kind of the same way in the Christian life. You're not going to make it through in your own power or your own strength. You weren't designed to make it through in your own power and in your own strength. And so you need to be strengthened with all might by him. Whenever God commissioned his church, he didn't commission the church in their power. He commissioned the church in his power. In Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 18, Jesus told his disciples, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore." His intention is to work through us. So that strength doesn't come from us, it comes from him. So when Paul's saying, "I pray that you will be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power," he's saying, don't try to do things in your own flesh. Make sure that you are powered up by taking in the spiritual nutrition you need to take in, and that is the power of God's word and God's spirit. The Bible tells us that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. There's power in the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? The word of God. There's power in the word of God. You need to fill your life up with power. Like Michael Phelps would sit there and eat enormous amounts of food to give him the energy to compete. You need to eat enormous amounts of the bread of life. You need to consume the pages of Scripture. You need to memorize those verses that will give you strength to power through those trials and temptations. You must engorge yourself with the Word of God and listen to the Spirit of God as He leads you to all truth. This is strengthened with all might through His power. And then He gives us indications about whether or not we are being strengthened, and I'll be done. I've got 1 minute left, and I've got 3 points, so we're going to make it quick. How many want to see me get through 3 points in 1 minute, all right? Here we go, all right? Notice what he says here in verse number 11. This strength leads to patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. When we think of strength, we think about bending iron bars, and we think about David out there, you know, wrangling with lions and bears, and we think, no, that. Those can be indicators of strength, but this is the real indicator of strength. The strength with all might is that we would have patience to endure, that we would have long-sufferingness with others, and that we would have a thankful spirit through it all. Be thankful in all things. That takes the strength of God to be able to do that. Lastly, God shows us here in Scripture through the Apostle Paul's prayer that we are to be thankful. Notice this last thing that Paul prays for this church concerning giving all thanks unto the Father. Now, this is what we tend to do. We tend to be thankful for things instead of thankful to God. And our thanksgiving isn't worshipful of God. Our thanksgiving is worshipful of the things we have. But the whole context of true thanksgiving is, again, this deep connection to understanding who God is. And so Paul shares again and reminds this church what they're truly thankful for. Notice what he says here. Be thankful unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Aren't you glad the context of all of our thanksgiving isn't what we have materialistically? It's our salvation. It's the saving grace of God. That's the context of our thanksgiving. And when we realize who he is and what he's done, when we have a clear view of him, when we know his will, when we understand that we need to walk worthy of him, when we're strengthened with all might, then we're thankful for the right stuff, what are we going to do? We're going to be that much more usable by God to really be a light and the salt that he's called us to be. And so this morning, as we conclude, can you connect with these things that Paul says, I'm praying for you, church? I'm praying, not in some magical way that'll just kind of spread some mystical Christian dust on you and you're just going to have it happen in your life, but I'm praying in a directional way for you, that you would know the will of God, that you would walk worthy of him, that you would be strengthened with all might, and that you would be truly thankful, not for just what you have, but for what you've been given by God in your salvation. What a great prayer, huh? What a great prayer. What a wonderful thing that Paul prayed for this church, and what a wonderful thing God shares with us through that, and how he desires for us to connect with him. Hey, be a servant who fears the Lord, but to do that, you need to be a servant who knows the Lord and is walking with him in a very intimate way. And I hope you are this morning.